Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message today is from the Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 7, printed on page 6 of the worship folder. I want you to try to put yourself in this situation. You get a phone call and you're told that a very good friend of yours, or maybe one of your relatives, has just lost a child. Their child died. What are you going to do? What are you going to say to them? It's a difficult situation, right? And maybe what's going through some of your minds is, well, I just pray I'm never in that situation. I have been in that situation from both sides. I have had members and friends who have lost a child, and I've personally lost a child. So what are you going to do? Well, the absolute worst thing you can do is to do nothing. Although that's really the temptation we have, to do absolutely nothing, because you have no idea what to say, right? You just don't know what to say, so you do nothing at all. I remember after our son died, I had people tell me, you know, I really wanted to call you, but I didn't know what to say. I really wanted to come to the wake, but I just couldn't face you because I didn't know what to say. Well, I did come to the funeral, and I hope you noticed that I was there. And the reason I came to the funeral is because I didn't know I'd have to, I knew I wouldn't have to see you face to face. And the truth of the matter is, when a couple people told me that, I said, no, I didn't know you were there. I mean, the church was full, including the balcony. I didn't notice most of the people who were there. So what do you do? What do you say? There's a really good book that I read that gives some good advice on that. It's a book written by a man who lost two children on the same day, and it's called When There Are No Words. And his advice was simply, well, you don't have to say anything, because there is nothing you can say that's going to take the pain away. There's nothing you can say. There's no magic words that are going to make everything better. All you have to do is let the person know that you care. And he said, just call them up and be honest and say, I really don't know what to say. There's nothing I can say, but just know that I'm here for you. It's just great advice. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the situation that's here in the Word of God before us. This is probably one of the toughest situations you can imagine. Here was a widow, right? She had lost her husband, and now her only child had died too. So what do you say, and what do you do? Let's kind of put ourselves into the context here and then look at what Jesus did. This took place the day after Jesus had healed the centurion's servant. We talked about that in our message last week. And what happened is Jesus had gone to Capernaum, and he was on his way down to a little town of Nain, which was a town about 25 miles south of Capernaum, just a little town in southern Galilee. And there were two very different processions that came together. We're told that Jesus had a large crowd following him. So as Jesus was going down to Nain, he not only was followed by his apostles and disciples, but also a large crowd of people who had seen him heal the centurion's servant and were probably following Jesus to see what he would do next. So that would have been a very joyous procession, right? People just so happy about the power that Jesus had to heal that servant. People who probably recognized Jesus as the promised Savior, or at the very least, were hoping that he was. And as they approached the town gate, coming out of the town gate is a very different procession. It was a funeral procession. People were carrying a young man out to the cemetery. And don't picture a closed wooden casket. It would be more what we would call a stretcher. So the pallbearers would be carrying this young man on a stretcher wrapped in cloths with spices, you know, to take care of the body. Behind him was the widow, who just lost her only son. Behind her was, again, a large crowd, family, friends, neighbors, mourning the loss of this young man. We don't know how old he was, but it doesn't matter when you lose a child, right? These two very opposite. So what is Jesus going to do? Well, what a lot of people would have done is just kind of moved off to the side and just kind of stood there and let that sad procession pass and then go into town and, you know, have no reaction at all. Or maybe a reaction that says, wow, that's really sad. But see, that would not have been our kind, loving, compassionate Savior. So Jesus goes up, and we're told in the gospel here that Luke says his heart went out to her. And literally those words mean that his whole being went out to her. He was just filled with love and compassion for this woman. But then he goes up and he says to her, "Don't cry." What do you think of that? Don't cry. Is that something you would say? I would never say that to someone who had just lost a child. Tell them not to cry. In fact, I've told people the opposite, right? And you probably have too. You tell people, it's okay to cry. In fact, it's not only okay to cry, it's a good thing to cry, because it's not a good idea to keep all of that grief and sadness built up inside you. And that you can do that. I know I did that. I went to a grief counselor who said, you don't have to be strong for people. It's okay to cry. You know, I remember when I first came back to my office over in school, there were times I'd just get this wave of sadness and I'd go into my office by myself and close the door. And one of the people from school knocked on the door and said, I know exactly what you're doing. It's okay to cry. You don't have to hide from us. We're there for you. Best thing anybody ever said. But Jesus goes up, and it's really interesting the words he uses, because it's very clear from the Greek language that this is a command. He didn't give her a hug, pat her on the shoulder, and say, there, it'll be okay, don't cry. It's a command. He walked up to her, and he simply said, stop crying. But of course, Jesus could do that, couldn't he? Because Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew he was going to take away the source of her grief and sadness. I just want to read that part for you again. Then Jesus went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up, began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Now, again, try to put yourself in this situation. Jesus simply walked up to the pallbearers carrying this stretcher, and he says to the young man, "Get up." And what does he do? He gets up, he starts talking, and I picture Jesus taking him by the hand, leading him over to his mother, and giving him back. Can you even imagine what that would be like? I mean, can you imagine following a funeral procession out to the cemetery, and all of a sudden the hearse stops, and a man walks up, knocks on the window, asks the funeral director to open the back of the hearse, open up the coffin, and the man walks up to the coffin, then the next thing you know, he's walking back to the car behind them and handing the deceased back to his family. Now, we can't imagine that, but why could Jesus do that? Well, these people were filled with awe, right? They couldn't believe what Jesus had just done. It was just amazing. And what did they do? And I think this is important to look at the reaction. They praised God, and they said, "A prophet is among us," meaning Jesus. And then they said, "God has visited his people." They recognized Jesus for who he was. They knew that there was absolutely no one who could literally raise the dead except God. So they said, "A prophet is among us," referring to the Old Testament prophecies, especially Moses saying that God will raise up a prophet like Moses, referring to the promised Savior. They recognized Jesus as God because they said, "God has visited his people." They recognized Jesus as the Son of God, the only one who could raise the dead. And their reaction was to praise God, to worship God, and then, of course, to spread the news throughout Judea and the countryside that God had kept his promise, that God had sent the Savior, and that's who Jesus was. And really, isn't that the point? I mean, Jesus showed that he had power over life and death. Jesus has told us that on the cross he destroyed death and has given us eternal life. But the message here is that Jesus is the Son of God. In Jesus' 3 years of public ministry, you know how many people he raised from the dead? Three. This woman's son, the daughter of Jairus, and Lazarus, his good friend, the brother of Mary and Martha. And in all three cases, Jesus did that to prove that he was the promised Savior. And my friends, that's the message. And yet Jesus was a source of tremendous comfort to this woman when he gave her son back. But isn't Jesus also our source of comfort for whatever happens in our life? When we lose a loved one, what is it that gives you peace and hope and eventually dries your tears and helps you with your grief and sorrow? It's knowing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's knowing that the same Jesus who raised this man, the daughter of Jairus and Lazarus from the dead, the same Jesus who himself rose from the dead, is the same Jesus who has promised to come again to raise us from the dead and take us to be with him in heaven. It's the same Jesus who promises us that wonderful reunion with our loved ones when we see them again in heaven. Yeah, Jesus probably isn't going to bring anybody out of their graves individually and give us our loved ones back. But when he comes in judgment, when he comes on the last day, that's exactly what he's going to do. Because Jesus is who he said he is. The Son of God, who has the power over life and death. Remember what he said to Mary and Martha? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever dies will live. Because Jesus is the Savior. They spread the news, and they worship God. Isn't that why we're here today? Isn't that why we come back Sunday after Sunday? To worship and praise Jesus for what he's done. To worship and praise Jesus because he is the Son of God. To worship and praise Jesus because he is our sure hope of eternal life. To worship and praise Jesus because he is our source of comfort. And then to spread the news and let other people know what you and I know. May we continue to praise Jesus for what he's done for us, and may we continue to share the good news of what Jesus has done for others. Amen.